Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Azerbaijan increase partnership. The third ASEAN Entities Forum strengthen cooperation in some fields in the region. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning Minister Sofyan Jalil said that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Azerbaijan are growing more in various fields. The minister said this when attending the 101st anniversary of the Azerbaijan Democratic Republic and the commemoration of the 100 years of Azerbaijan diplomatic service in Jakarta on Monday, April the 29th. He further said that in the economic field, the trade value of the two countries amounted more than $500 million in 2018. He hoped that in the future, the two countries would further enhance the partnerships in trade and investment, especially in the energy sector. He also reminded about the importance of people-to-people contact in enhancing the partnership between the two countries.
In this regard, we welcome initiative to further promote people-to-people contact through various social-cultural cooperation between the two countries. Among others are the establishment of Center for Indonesia Studies in Baku and Azerbaijan Corner in Jakarta. The annual Indonesian Cultural Festival in Baku, as well as the development of Pencaksilat in Azerbaijan. I'm confident that this milestone would further strengthen the friendship and mutual understanding between the people of Indonesia and Azerbaijan.
Moreover, Minister Sofyan Jalil further hoped that the bilateral partnership between Indonesia and Azerbaijan will increase in the upcoming years. On the same occasion, Vice Ambassador of the Republic of Azerbaijan Ruslan Nasibov emphasized that high-level political relations between the two countries are based on the principles of friendship, mutual respect, and cooperation. He said in 2019, Azerbaijan will chair the Non-Aligned Movement and will hold the Movement Summit on October the 21st to 26th. ASEAN and its associated entities discussed the progress they have made and how they could strengthen collaboration in achieving a more integrated and people-focused ASEAN at the third forum of entities associated with ASEAN held in Jakarta on Monday, April the 29th. To Voice of Indonesia, Deputy Secretary General of ASEAN for Community and Corporate Affairs, Mokhtar, said that this forum is to engage with all the entities and to enhance the dialogue between the member countries.
I'm very happy that we are having this third forum of the entities associated with ASEAN. This forum is actually to engage with all the entities and to enhance the dialogue between them. We are privileged to have Thailand as the chair of ASEAN, participating a very strong delegation from Bangkok, including actually the DG of the ASEAN Affairs, who will present the ASEAN chairmanship under Thailand. So this is going to be a very exciting event, and we are very happy to have very good attendance to this meeting. This is not only Indonesia and Thailand, but this is the entire member states. And later on, we will have all the ambassadors, the Committee of Permanent Representatives, also present and to have interface with the entities.
Dr. Mohtan added that given the diversity among ASEAN entities, as well as the expansive scopes covered by the entities, there is a big role of ASEAN entities can be played to ensure agility and inclusiveness in the process of regional integration. In her opening remarks, Permanent Representative of Thailand to ASEAN, Paspom Sangasubana, stated that the forum is a useful initiative by ASEAN Secretariat as it provides a platform for the entities to interact with the Secretariat as the essence of ASEAN. Paspom Sangasubana believes that this platform will help to strengthen ASEAN community building. State-owned energy holding company Pertamina has stopped the import of jet fuel or aftur since January following a decrease in consumption by aviation companies. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, aftur distributor Pertamina Aviation, a Pertamina subsidiary, Vice President LD Henry in Jakarta on Monday said that the flight frequency is currently lower. So, Pertamina decided to stop importing in January. Hence, Pertamina's stock of aftur will last 42 days, while last year it stood for only 30 days. LD also said decreased consumption of aftur has been seen at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Cengkareng, Banten, and in Western Indonesia. Meanwhile, for flights in eastern Indonesia like Bali, it is slightly better as these regions depend heavily on air transportation because of their archipelagic characteristics. In the first quarter of 2019, flag carrier Garuda Indonesia decreased its seat capacity, which subsequently led to the lower flight frequency. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya and Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan signed a Memorandum of Understanding on coordination and cooperation in the context of supporting the implementation of duties and functions of the energy and mineral resources as well as environment and forestry sector. In a press conference held at the Mangala Warna Bhakti building on Monday, April the 29, Minister Siti Nurbaya mentioned the points that become the focus of the cooperation.
Ada beberapa poin yang secara spesifik.
There are a number of points that specifically mentioned in its scope, namely the implementation of forest reclamation and rehabilitation of watersheds by holders of using license of forest areas, then controlling of licensing arrangements of forest areas and synchronizing the use of forest areas for energy and mining activities. In the conservation area, there are around 20 gigawatts of geothermal sources. So we have agreed to support energy from geothermal by still maintaining preservation. Minister Siti Nurbaya added that regarding climate change control and the implementation of national determined contribution and energy, the Indonesian government has committed to reduce emissions by 29% through its own efforts and 41% with international assistance. This memorandum of understanding is also very strategic value because it will initiate a cooperation between the apparatuses that has been implemented so far. The cooperation will also to follow up with cooperation agreement between Echelon 1 or head of the work units in accordance with their authority. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia has, for the foremost instance, taken part in the 9th International Economic Summit Russia-Islamic World Kazan Summit 2019 in a bid to expand the market for Indonesian halal products in Russia. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Monday, April the 29th, First Secretary of the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow, Enjai Diana, explained that held in Kazan, capital of the Republic of Tatarstan, Russian Federation, on April 24th until 26th, the series of activities in which Indonesia participated included the Russia Halal Expo, Indonesia-Russia Business Forum, Kazan Modest Fashion Show, and Forum of Young Diplomats of the OIC countries. Indonesia's keenness to make inroads into Russian halal industry market was apparent from the presence of 7 Indonesian companies that enlivened the 100 square meter Indonesian pavilion located at the entrance to the strategic exhibition venue. Center for Indonesian Policy Studies researcher Muhammad Dihaim Biru has appealed to the government to strengthen the protection of local intellectual property rights that can be valuable in supporting the nation's entrepreneurs. Muhammad Dihaim Biru, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that the protection of intellectual property rights holds huge significance for innovation, entrepreneurship, and economic growth. He also pointed to the nearly 40% contribution of intellectual property rights-intensive industries to the combined group domestic products of the United States and the European Union. The researcher believes that the imports of intensive research and development products would rise if nations worldwide were to ensure the protection of intellectual property rights in their trade agreements. Last item. The Ministry of Industry will consistently encourage the implementation of the policy in the downstream industry to increase the value addition of domestic raw materials. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Secretary General of the Ministry of Industry, Haris Munandar, in a statement in Jakarta on Monday, said that in the past, the government exported mine minerals such as nickel ore. The value has already been multiplied from around $30 per metric ton to $1,300 to $1,400. Moreover, he said nickel pig iron has been upgraded to stainless steel. He cited the Morowali Industrial Area in Central Sulawesi as one of the centers for the development of nickel smelters that has contributed significantly to the local and national economy. From the region, the value of investment is $5 billion, while its exports reach $4 billion. The region also employed as many as 30,000 people until 2018. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia and Azerbaijan increase partnership. The third ASEAN and Titus Forum strengthen cooperation in some fields in the region. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia to the World.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Environmental Recovery Due to Floods in Bengkulu. On April 26, heavy rains hit 9 regencies and cities in Bengkulu province. Bengkulu Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency reported that until Monday, April 29, 29 people were killed, 2 people were seriously injured, and 13 people were missing due to the flash flood. About 12,000 people were displaced in many places, and 13,000 people were affected by the disaster. A number of livestock such as cattle, goats, sheep, and buffaloes also became victims. Meanwhile, physical damage included 184 damaged houses, 7 educational facilities, and 40 infrastructure points. To assist the operational handling of the emergency, head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Doni Monardo, has handed over fund worth 2.25 billion rupiah to Governor Bengkulu, Wan Hasint. Furthermore, the fund will be provided to the district or city of Bengkulu Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency to recover the level of damage caused by the disaster. Environmental activists highlighted the assistance of 8 coal mining companies operating in Bukit Daun Protection Forest Buffer Zone. This place is an upstream catchment area of Bengkulu River, which overflowed due to heavy rain and caused flooding to swamped central Bengkulu region and Bengkulu city. In addition, an oil palm plantation has eliminated the function of tropical forests as water retainers. Director of the Bengkulu Canopy Environmental Organization, Ali Akbar, said in Bengkulu that the entire Bengkulu region has lost its ecological functions, so the disaster occurred in this area. This situation was recognized by head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Doni Munardo. During the delivery of aid, he said that in addition to natural factors, the intensity of increased rainfall, anthropogenic factors, and human activities destroy the nature and environment. As a consequence, all of these predominantly cause increased hydrometeorological disasters. Doni added that there had been deforestation, forest degradation, and damaged environment, reduced water catchment areas, critical land height vulnerability, irregular spatial planning, which were inappropriate with the disaster-prone maps. As a result, this caused areas to be vulnerable to flooding. Human interference has a major impact on the environment. It's time for regional heads to realize that reckless development may bring about an ecological impact, and this must be ended immediately. Extractive industry permits in the upstream river should be reviewed. Doni also reminded that the environment must be restored and cared for. If nature is balanced around, the hydrological cycle will also be balanced. The local people must protect their nature to avoid damage to the nature, which can cause floods and landslides. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history will begin with April the 30th, 1945, Adolf Hitler's dies. Adolf Hitler was a German politician and Austrian-born Nazi party leader. He served as Chancellor of Germany from 1933 to 1945. Hitler became a leading figure in Nazi Germany, World War II in Europe, and the Holocaust. Hitler's supremacist and racially motivated policies resulted in the deaths of around 50 million people during World War II, including 6 million Jews. On April 30, 1945, after a fierce battle and near defeat against the Soviet army, Hitler and his wife Eva Braun committed suicide. Braun bit the cyanide capsule and Hitler shot himself. Switching now to April the 30th, 1948, Declaration of the Organization of American States in Bogota. 21 countries of the Americas signed an agreement to establish an American state organization in Bogota, Colombia on April the 30th, 1948. The aim was to protect democracy and human rights and the continent instability of the situation due to trade in the region. In addition, the agreement was also to block the influence of developing communism as happened in Cuba. I conclude today in history on April the 30th, 1980. Queen of the Netherlands, Juliana, hands over the royal throne to her daughter, Beatrix. Queen Juliana Louise Marie Wilhelmina van Oranje Nassau, who was born in The Hague on April the 30th, 1909, was the Queen of the Kingdom of the Netherlands from September the 6th, 1948 until April the 30th, 1980. She handed over the throne to the kingdom on her 71st birthday to her eldest daughter Beatrix. Queen Juliana visited Indonesia, the Dutch previous colony, in 1972. Although she had resigned from politics since 1980, she was still active in the social field until 1995. Well, that was Today in History from Indonesia to the World.
That was a song Satu Indonesia, sung by Kotak. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 33-5 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we will give information on My Indonesia with the title Indonesia Provide Assistance to Palestinian Refugees in Jordan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our Google program My Indonesia. The topic for today is Indonesia provide assistance to Palestinian refugees in Jordan. The government of Indonesia through National Amil Zakat Agency or BASNAS provided humanitarian assistance in the form of stranded eyes clinic and ear, nose and throat clinic on 21st April 2019 to the Jordanian medical aid for Palestinian clinic in Palestinian refugee camps in Tahbliya, Jordan. The assistance is part of the collaboration between BASNAS and the Jordan Asmite Charity Organization, JHCO. As quoted by pagecamlo.co.id, Jordanian Prince Hassan bin Talal, in the presence of invited guests consisting of philanthropists, donors, Palestinian refugees community leaders and empathy guests totaling around 100 people confirmed that the presence of Basarnas in the refugee camps was to provide humanitarian assistance. High sense of Indonesian nation solidarity with the Palestinian people and close relations with the Kingdom of Jordan. Prince Hassan hopes that this collaboration will continue and develop so that the blessings can be felt by all people. Meanwhile, Ambassador of Republic of Indonesia to Jordan, Andi Ramianto, said that this humanitarian aid to Palestinian refugees is an integral part of Indonesian support to the Palestinian struggle for independence. In particular, Ambassador Andi expressed his high appreciation for the Jordanian government's response to the initiatives from non-governmental institutions that wish to share with refugees in need. The Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Amman also highly appreciated the direct role of Basarnas in collaborating with JHCO in supporting humanitarian diplomacy activities launched by President Joko Widodo as a form of implementation of Indonesian foreign policy. This form of cooperation between Basarnas and JHCO can at least be used as a model for other countries to ease the burden of Palestinian refugees. Basarnas, represented by Commissioner Ishadul Halim, emphasized that the concern of Indonesian people for the Palestinian people is very high. Thus, Basarnas facilitates Indonesian people who like to share and distribute to Palestinian refugees in Jordan. At this initial stage, the collaboration between Basarnas and JHCO prioritized the health sector through construction of clinics and procurement of medicines distributed through three units of clinics managed by Medical Aid for Palestinian Community Jordan in Gaza refugees camps, Haitian and Tablia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Terasa bangun dari mimpiku, tahu aku tak sendiri. Matahari pun serasa lebih cerah dengan kecup manismu. Ku mulai melangkah, ku nikmati tiap detikku dengan namamu di hatiku. Ku rasa bahagia dan hati berbunga-bunga. Kau buatku tergila-gila, tunduk hati aku setia selayaknya sihir. Kau buatku terjatuh, tapi tak berlangsung lama. Kau tinggalkan aku, kau pergi berjejak, tanya. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, kau tak akan tinggalkan aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, secinta kamu segalanya. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. La 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 la. Kau tak akan tinggalkan aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, sayang cinta kamu segalanya. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, kau tak akan tinggalkan aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, kau tak. Terasa la 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 la
That was Kisah Sebentar, sung by Tulus. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we would like to take you to explore one of Indonesian traditional snacks called rangikek, stay tuned. Listener, in commemoration of the 20th anniversary of Depok City, which was celebrated on Saturday, April 27, 2019, the Depok Municipal Government arranged a number of interesting activities to enliven the celebration. One of them was Depok Culinary Festival. The Culinary Festival was held on Saturday, April 27, 2019, at Lapangan Balai Kota Depok, or the Depok Town Hall's field. The culinary festival was free for those who hold Depok's ID card. Visitors only needed to show their ID card as Depok citizens. There were 10,000 portions of Depok's traditional cuisines, which were prepared such as soto Depok, bakso gundul or meatball, toge goreng or fried tauco, cendol, kue rangi or rangi cake, kerak telur, and siomay. Among the local cuisines presented in the Depok Culinary Festival, I'd like to introduce you to kue rangi or rangi cake. Rangi cake is the traditional dessert of Betawi community who live in Depok. Rangi cake or sago rangi is made from sago starch or a type of flour using sago palm fruit. The sago starch is mixed with grated coconut and salt. Besides sago starch, we can also use corn starch. Firstly, we pour the batter into crescent-shaped cake mold made from aluminium which has been heated. After pouring the batter into each strip of the cake mold, usually rangi cake vendors flatten the batter. Rangi cake is served with thick sauce made from the mixture of brown sugar and cornstarch. The brown sugar sauce is spread over the cake when the rangi cake is still baked. After that, cover the cake mold and bake the cake until it gets dried and cooked. The savouriness of the batter and the sweetness of the brown sugar sauce blend perfectly and make the cake taste more delectable. Because of its sweet taste, rangi cake is usually served with a cup of hot coffee or plain tea. The combination of coffee or tea will neutralize the sweetness of the cake. In addition, the cake also has distinctive aroma because it is still cooked traditionally by using firewood. The distinctive aroma is produced from the baking process using the firewood. For each portion, rangi cake costs around 8,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about rangi cake. See you on our next edition.
I was born in this place with so many different races. I've seen so many faces, never bothered me in any way. But every day, all I hear is bombing and fighting and tragic and traffic. Sometimes I can send a basic, but hey, we are the youth of the nation. We gotta get up as a new generation. Stop, think, now do something for your nation.
Dari pulau terbentang sempurna, membelah dua samudra. Ku bawa namamu hingga ujung dunia, ceritakan indah Nusantara.
Oh, kemanapun aku melangkah, takkan ku lupakan tanah tempat ku bersumpah untuk membuatnya jadi indah. Beribu perbedaan, harmoni keindahan, takkan ada alasan bagiku untuk lupakan. Karena
di sana tempat lahir beta,
ibu air dibesarkan
muda,
berlindung di hari tua
sampai akhir menutup mata.
Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Indonesia Pusaka, sung by Endah and Reza and several artists. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Menuju Pintu Keluar, or in English, Going to the Exit. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on menuju pintu keluar or going to the exit.
Tony wants to ride Trans Jogja bus but does not know how to get to the Trans Jogja stop from the Prambanan Temple area. Tony, bagaimana cara ke halte Trans Jogja? Penjaga, Anda dapat naik beca. Di mana pangkalan beca? Di dekat pintu keluar. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely menuju pintu keluar, menuju pintu keluar, which means towards the exit. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Bagaimana cara ke halte Trans Jogja? Bagaimana cara ke halte Trans Jogja, which means how do you get to the Trans Jogja bus stop? Anda dapat naik beca. Anda dapat naik beca, which means you can ride a pedicab. Di mana pangkalan beca? Di mana pangkalan beca? Where is the pedicab base? Di dekat pintu keluar. Di dekat pintu keluar. Near the exit. Bandara. Bandara. Airport. Naik kereta api. Naik kereta api. Take the train. Stasiun kereta. Stasiun kereta. Railway station. Di seberang jalan. Di seberang jalan. Across the street. Ojek. Ojek. Motorcycle taxi. If you want to ask how to go to a location, say, bagaimana caranya? Bagaimana caranya? Which means how to. Then mention the name of the place you want to go. For example, you want to go to the terminal. You can say, bagaimana cara ke terminal? Bagaimana cara ke terminal? Which means how to go to the terminal. After hearing your question, maybe the response you will hear is, Anda dapat naik beca. Anda dapat naik beca, which means you can ride a beca or pedicab or dengan kereta, which means by train. Furthermore, if you want to know the location of a beca or pedicab, motorcycle taxi or ojek or taxi stand, you can ask di mana pangkalan beca? Di mana pangkalan beca, which means where is the pedicab base? Or di mana pangkalan ojek? Di mana pangkalan ojek, which means where is the ojek or motorcycle taxi base? Another example. Bagaimana cara ke bandara? Bagaimana cara ke bandara, which means how to go to the airport? Anda dapat naik kereta. Anda dapat naik kereta, which means you can take the train. Di mana stasiun kereta? Di mana stasiun kereta, which means where is the train station? Di seberang jalan, which means across the street. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more. Bagaimana cara ke halte Trans Jogja? Anda dapat naik beca. Di mana pangkalan beca? Di dekat pintu keluar? That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
berjalan di atas laut, tak ada tanah, tak ada batu, air selalu meranjung.
That was cerita tentang gunung dan laut, or Story About Mountain and Sea, sung by Payung Teduh. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today I will present you a traditional Malay song entitled Sri Mersing. The song, which is sung by Iyet Bustami, tells about advices of life. The song reminds people to keep being grateful for living in a safe and prosperous country in spite of the challenges that we encounter. The song Sri Mersing is an advice poem which consists of two lines or introductory part called preamble and two lines of content part. The Malay orchestra accompanies the song. The musical instruments which are used include accordion, guitar, violin, and Arabic musical instrument like mandolin. The song Sri Mersing is one of the songs in the album Pop Melayu 40-60 Iyet Bustami. Listener, here is the song entitled Sri Mersing by Iyet Bustami. Enjoy the song.
Ibarat lah kaca, ibarat
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send your email to voi@voinews.id.